This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome in to Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Happy Saturday morning. It's a beautiful, crisp morning out there. Nice, like, 65-degree weather. I'm personally loving it here in studio. And we have Mego reporting from places, parts unknown. Mego, how are you today?
Good. I'm in God's country. I'm in Maine. We can say it. Nice. I'm in Maine, Labor Day weekend, feeling autumnal, but I'm going to try to make a beach day out of it. We got football coming back. Like, it's we're turning the page here. We're ready to go. This is our last lonely Sunday coming up without Patriots football.
Yeah, this is I'm very excited. Football season is officially here. You can feel it in the weather. You can feel it in the air. College game day, I'm pretty sure, gets underway like right now. Lee Corso's final college game day is underway. So we have a
Whoa, Scheib.
What's that?
So you're saying you're doing college game day with Lee Corso's final outing over the new big Fox Barstool show?
Nope. The TVs in here will have one on one TV and one on the other. I was just wanted to shout out Lee Corso. He's had a phenomenal career. I know it's his last show, so that's why I immediately went to them. No bias here. I'm fine with either. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm not a big pregame show guy normally anyways. I'll just have it on because there's multiple TVs in here. So,
yeah, I wonder if that's something that obviously both channels are trying to tap into the younger generation with Pat McAfee, with Barstool stuff. Like, I don't know that that's carried on to the younger generation in the same way. Like, my parents watch Game Day every Saturday.
Yeah.
They love Game Day. I mean, they hate Pat McAfee, but they love Game Day.
Keep your shirt on, dude.
No, they're just like, who is this man? And we've definitely talked about this. I've had to explain to my mom multiple times, like, he was a punter for the Colts. He has one of the most successful podcasts now shows in the world, in the entire football world. And she's like, why is this punter on here?
I think it's funny because I think a lot of people in our generation, Mego, and maybe you feel differently, but I know like a lot of friends of mine who love college football want to spend all morning kind of with their family and kids so that their spouse can't then yell at them later on in the day for just sitting and watching college football for hours on end. And so that's kind of why they just toss away the pregame show. They're like, I don't care. As long as I'm sitting down right at noon for kickoff, like, everything else be damned. I'm going to go out and spend time with my kids and then come back and just watch college football.
Don't you feel like those shows are also programmed so that if you have like an 8 or 9 year old, I mean, this would be, I guess, a little bit older than a lot of our friends, but if you have like an 8 or 9 year old, they would be into that. Like, it's very energetic and it's very kind of cartoony.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I think especially this early in the year, a lot of people want to go out and do stuff. It is the perfect weather to take toddlers and young children out to like go do things in the morning, like go for walks, go to
apple
parks.
Picking and
stuff. You know, you're apple picking, you're leaf peeping soon once the leaves start to change. It is, I mean, 63 degrees at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning is spectacular. It is delightful.
I'm one of these people who immediately gets very into fall. So I'm like sad about the departure of summer, especially because football just makes it all so much better. But I know that some people out there are probably saying, we want our last gasp of summer. And also, shut up, talk about the Patriots, because they made some significant moves. The 53-man roster is so amorphous. And yesterday, I was rudely interrupted in my day by them cutting Jabril Peppers.
Yeah,
I did not see this one coming at all.
It was so weird because the entire preseason leading up through training camp, all we heard, I think Tom Curran was the first one I heard, at least that I can remember, suggest that Kyle Duggar could get traded. All training camp, all preseason, like, this guy might be a bubble cut. He might be a trade candidate. Like, keep your eye out. And so I was like, okay, cool. So your safeties are going to be, you know, Jalen Hawkins, Craig Woodson, Jabril Peppers, kind of a rotation of those guys, mix in some Del Pettis, and we call it a day. No.
And it made sense because Kyle Duggar was not good at the end of the second half of last season.
No, and Jabril Peppers is just a better version of Kyle Duggar.
Yeah. And so I found it, but I'm sorry. I'm stepping on you. Continue.
All good. It's just I saw that yesterday, and I was baffled. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me, Mego. I don't know if you've had time to kind of process and understand the reasoning behind this, because if you're cutting the more expensive guy, you would cut Kyle Duggar to free up some cap space. So the money thing doesn't really make sense to me. It's only like $4.5 million you owe Jabril Peppers, which is nothing for a team with $52 million in cap space. You have very little veteran leadership in your safety group. You're very thin, in my opinion, at the safety group. I like the eraser, Craig Woodson. Apparently, they really like Jalen Hawkins, who is a sixth-year player who really hasn't made much of a name for himself in the NFL. So I just find it very odd that Jabril Peppers is randomly the odd man out, unless like it's going to come out that he asked for his release, similar to how it came out with Kendrick Bourne, that he asked for his release, and maybe Jabril Peppers just doesn't want to be here. I can't really come up with a better reason.
So there's a lot there that you just said, and I'm going to focus on the Jabril side of it before getting to the other cuts earlier in the week with Kendrick Bourne and Javon Baker, because I think those are totally different situations.
Sure.
Jabril Peppers is the first guy that you've cut that it should be on the team from a talent perspective, in my opinion.
Yeah, this roster's not that good.
And there have already been people who have come out. Phil Perry, I saw on Twitter yesterday, and NBC Sports Boston followed up and wrote a story off of it saying this is not, to his knowledge, an off-field issue that plagued Jabril Peppers. Jabril did not have a situation off of away from football like he did last year, where he got wrapped up in the courts and legal stuff. He didn't have that anybody knows of, that anybody's aware of. And so it's not that, but it's more, Vrabel's going to have these guys playing man coverage more so now. And so he's not as good a fit for the scheme. I still think that's weird to cut this guy, because you do have a roster that is, what have we been saying since the final preseason game? So thin in your depth. Like, it's something here just does not add up to me. And in terms of who Jabril is from a personality, like, 1,000% seems to us in the media to fit in with Vrabel's mentality with this team. And Vrabel has praised his energy and praised his personality. And so there's just something missing here for me. It's very strange. It's very surprising. We keep saying that, but just because, there's no off-field issue that anybody knows of, that anybody's heard of, and he's just not a scheme fit, but he's still very talented, very physical player who definitely carries himself football-wise in the way that Mike Vrabel wants. Why are they doing this? It's not a money thing. Like, they need players for this roster, and this move really is strange.
And it comes multiple days after the cutdown day. Like, that's what you didn't even cut him at cutdown day to be like, we're moving on from all of the Belichick-related players, right? Like, there was no clear indication of that where Vrabel's like, yep, I'm cutting all these Belichick guys. We are starting completely fresh from scratch. This is my team and organization. It is now a couple days later that it's like, yep, now we're going to cut Jabril Peppers. And this team needs talent. The roster's not good enough.
They need players.
Yeah. And so Jabril Peppers is one of the unique players where when Bill first brought him in and you had Kyle Duggar, I was like, oh, you brought up the word amorphous earlier. I immediately had thought, oh, you're going to see more of that amorphous defense where your safeties can play in the box as linebackers or they can play in coverage on tight ends as safeties. And then you have your one center fielder guy. And I thought that's what this defense was gearing up for. Craig Woodson kind of slides in right away as your semi-center fielder in that old Devin McCourty kind of role. And then you have guys like Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar, who can play in that classic strong safety type role where they can slide right up into the box and help in the run defense and really make tackles and cover tight ends. And yet now we're moving very, very far away from that. I don't quite understand it. It wouldn't shock me now if Kyle Duggar also just gets released at some point before week one. But it's just, you're running out of guys. You don't have that many guys. It's now just Craig Woodson, Jalen Hawkins, Del Pettis, and Kyle Duggar. There's nobody else back there.
Your theory about him asking for his release, that does not appear to be the case.
Because it seems like he liked it here, right?
Yeah, and well, so Peppers, immediately after it was announced that he, or that it leaked, that I can't remember who had the report first, but that he was cut, he takes to Instagram and he quote tweets his PFF score, which of course was super high, and has like a shushing emoji with it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so this is him hitting back. And then I don't know, 20 minutes later, he deletes it, whatever, like, you know, obviously emotional. And then Juwan Bentley comes out of the woodwork and starts tweeting up a storm and on social media on Jabril Peppers' behalf, where again, people are coming out, reporters saying, hey, this seems to be a scheme fit thing. And Juwan Bentley's quote tweeting him going like, must be hell of a scheme. Like, if Jabril Peppers isn't good enough to play in it, that must be some scheme. And I'm like, okay, so this was certainly appearing not to be Jabril Peppers raising his hand and saying, I can see myself out of here, which, by the way, I don't think was the case with Kendrick Bourne either. I think Mike Vrabel made that pretty clear when he said news to me that he heard that Kendrick Bourne had asked for his release and compared it to being like, you can't dump me, I'm breaking up with you, or the equivalent
you
of
can't
like,
fire me, I quit.
Exactly. And so I think that's very much so what was going on with Kendrick Bourne, that he read the writing on the wall that, yes, they were keeping him on the roster for now, because why not? They can cut you at any time. And they were going to look and see who was on the waiver wire, which they did, pick up a couple guys to add there, including our new favorite Tommy DeVito. And once they did that, they were going to release him. So that's why he's out there putting, you know, his agent or whatever on his behalf putting out there, oh, no, he asked for his release because he wants to go to San Francisco.
I want to ask you, I just look at this roster and I feel like it's getting worse. We thought pretty highly of the defense, and I don't want to say that Jabril Peppers makes this massive difference. He's not Micah Parsons, who we will get to later, by the way. But, like, he is a player that would be on the field contributing to a defense. And yet, it feels like Vrabel has no problem sacrificing talent for, like, his road, right? It's his way or the highway type deal. And it's just like, yeah, like, that's fine. We don't need Jabril Peppers. He definitely can't help us at all this year. And for a team with such little talent, such little blue chip players as it is, it feels weird to cut anybody that has any semblance of talent.
Yeah, I agree that the defense is probably worse without Jabril Peppers as we sit here today, because you're just thinner there.
Simple.
That's one of the biggest issues.
Like, he's going to get picked up by another team pretty quickly, don't you think?
I would think so, but I don't know. You know, who knows what's going to happen with these. I haven't been following where his interest is or interest in him is, to be completely honest, since this news broke. I just was wondering from a Patriots perspective why this would happen, and it's so bizarre. But I think to your point of the team feels worse than it did like 3 or 4 weeks ago, this is feeling very much like, I think, some people who had a very, very like rosy perspective of what the team was going to be come in like a come to Jesus moment.
Yes, like, exactly.
This is who the team has been. This is what I don't understand. And look, I've been on, you know, these different panels and our shows and talking to people. And it's like all of a sudden everybody's going, well, it's not 10 wins anymore. It feels more like 8 wins. And, you know, that kind of language, or like, I don't know if they're a double digit win team. And it's like, bro, when were they ever looking like a double digit win team? Like, you guys were just, you guys just.
La La Land. That's where they were.
Exactly.
They were all in La La Land.
You were in La La Land. And part of that is, okay, that's the nature of being there in the spring. And you're excited. And you're, oh, all right, Drake May's going to take this big, you know, year two leap. And, blah, and everybody gets excited about that. But some of us have been 10 toes down with our feet on earth.
Damn right we have.
Saying it's between a 7 and 9 win team. And I still maintain that. Now, there are days where I feel like they're more of an 8 win team. And I go, man, this is an 8 looking team. This team looks 8. But this whole, like, I feel like in a way some people have set up this narrative for themselves now to say over the last couple weeks, oh, Patriots look bad. Like, oh, it's like this is who they – there's nothing that has happened at practice. Now we only get to watch stretching and individual drills when we're there. But let's go back to Monday when we still had availability for the full practice. There's nothing that happened that indicates that the team is worse than we thought they were when they had joint practice against the Commanders. Nothing. Unless you think Jabril Peppers is the big difference maker or Kendrick Bourne or Javon Baker, in which case I'd categorize you as being in La La Land also. So I this like narrative, I guess I had to ask you, like, why do you feel like the roster is so much worse than you thought it was? Did you really like think the depth was that much stronger?
No, I mean, I don't think it just feels like you're cutting good players. And that's why I feel like it's worse. It's not really that much worse, right? Jabril Peppers is not a massive difference maker, but I feel like you're cutting talent in spite of yourself, kind of thing. Like you're just kind of hurting yourself in a way that you don't need to. Like, you could keep Jabril Peppers on the team, not really play him, pay $4.5 million for him, and then, like, if you need him, he's there. I don't, especially because the guy you brought into the 53-man roster to replace that spot was a defensive tackle we will probably never see. And at a position that I don't feel like you lack depth. Like, I feel like on the defensive line, you're pretty good. You have a solid rotation of players between Barmore and Tonga and Milton Williams, Keon White, Jeremiah Farms, Joshua Farmer, like all those guys, Anfernee Jennings. I feel like you have a rotation of capable NFL players on the defensive line. So bringing in a D tackle to me makes zero sense. You lack so much depth in the secondary. It's scary. It is a house of cards, because if one corner or one safety gets hurt, you immediately put yourself on the back foot. And then you're kind of screwed. Whereas in this situation, if you just kept Peppers around and like had him be a part of the team and found ways to incorporate him here and there, and then if somebody gets hurt, if Jalen Hawkins goes down or Craig Woodson goes down, it's like, oh, we have a legitimate NFL player to step right in and take his place. And wait, so it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and by the way, like, to your point about their depth at defensive tackle or at the line, I was thinking immediately about these quotes that Karen Garigian of Mass Live got from Keon White, because when I heard the Jabril Peppers news, I was like, who else has been demoted through some of these preseason games seemingly? Keon White.
Okay,
and
interesting.
Keon White is a guy who clashed with the old coaching staff. And
yes,
then one of the first comments that he gave in minicamp was like, man, I got a real coach now.
I love having a real coach.
Yeah. So let me read you these quotes in case you didn't see them from Karen Garigian, who talked to him in the locker room yesterday. She asked him about the demotion that he seemingly had playing so much in the final preseason game. Keon White goes, as long as I have a job, I like the fact I have one. I could care less. They could put me at corner. If they're going to pay me, I'll play it. I'm like,
the complete opposite of Rafael Devers.
Maybe Keon White like knows a little bit more, or can read the temperature of the room a little bit more than some of these other guys, where he's like, Vrabel is, that guy is cutthroat.
Yeah, well, clearly Keon White got the message when Vrabel says we're removing entitlement from the building. Because as he says, he's like, I'll play anywhere. If you're paying me, I'll play wherever you want me to play. I just want to be on the field. And
please
don't
play him at corner.
Yeah, please don't. We don't need that. But hey, maybe he makes a good safety. He is long. Like, who knows? It all seems so weird to me. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Jabril Peppers release, the Patriots roster as a whole. Shyman Mega with you. We're here until noontime today. We're basically taking you right up until college football, which is a great thing. College football is back. It's a beautiful day for college football. Sunny. It's going to be low 70s out there. Enjoy the day. Enjoy college football. We'll continue with some more of the Patriots discussion. We're also going to get into the Micah Parsons trade because I think that is a huge, huge deal for the Patriots, for the NFL as a whole. So I want to get into that. We'll also touch on Peyton Tolley's debut with the Boston Red Sox from last night. Kid is like they call him, the little piglet. Love it. We're going to get into all that here on Mego and Shine, but right now Tom is going to get you caught up with what is trending in the world.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
For the sports. Mega and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Happy Saturday. Beautiful day out there. Mego is enjoying the lovely continent of Maine. How is it up there today, Mego? Brisk?
It is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It is perfect. It is like, I think it's going to be one of those days where the temperature doesn't totally reflect the feel of the day because the sun is out super strong. So I am like, you were talking about those nagging spouses who are like, man, I want to do stuff before college football starts. My husband's going to watch the Ohio State-Texas game at noon, and I'm probably going to go to the beach for like an hour and then come back and watch the second half of it because nice. I don't need to sit and watch the entire college football game of two teams of which I am not even close to being an alma mater, nor anybody in my family.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the game. I got to be honest with you.
It's a great one to have at noon on Saturday for week zero.
Yeah, to have the first real like game of the year be Texas Ohio State is awesome. 774 texter asked, what are the bets today? I just wanted a quick little information update for you on this Texas Ohio State game. All week, all preseason everything, Ohio State had been at one point, I think it was a 3.5-point favorite in this game. The money has now swung to the point where Texas is a 1.5-point favorite. So I would just like to, this is just a friendly little advisory for my fellow bettors out there. I love Ohio State today. As a home dog, I think that's insane. An Ohio State teaser of Ohio State in the over feels like my favorite bet of the week, and I don't even think it's particularly close. So I just wanted to toss that out there for any of my fellow degenerates who happen to be listening at 9:30 this morning, Mega.
How are you feeling about Archmania?
I like Arch. I'm not like swept up in the Archmania, though. I have my eye more on a guy like Lenora Sellers. I think he could be electric, and if he wins the Heisman, could have a really, really interesting kind of offseason here leading up through college football and into the NFL draft and stuff like that. So I'm kind of curious to see how he does this year. That's my guy.
Why do you think that, and this is no disrespect to Boston College, but why do you think that the college football world just doesn't really apply up in New England the way it does other parts of the country? I'm not even talking about like in comparison to like being in Alabama or Texas or Ohio State.
Yeah, you're even talking about like Illinois.
I'm talking about like even Maryland.
Yeah.
Like University of Maryland football people get into, which is so lame. But like at the same time, I don't feel like there just isn't the same level of interest / community up in New England. You don't go around Boston and see a ton of different bars that are, hey, this is the LSU game day bar. Like
yeah.
You do in other cities even. Like you'll have a Boston College, plenty of watch parties. You'll have Notre Dame bars. But other than that, there's not like a big, you know, culture with that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's just and it's kind of odd too, because for a long, long time prior to Tom Brady, the Patriots sucked. So it's not like you had some kind of, it's not like you were in Pittsburgh, right, where you had the Steelers who were just a preeminently good football team, or the Green Bay Packers or something like that. And so
right.
You were able to focus on them instead of college football. So I'm not really sure why they don't love college football the same way here as they do almost everywhere else in the country. But it's just one of those things that everybody here is a football fan. But at the end of the day, like, it's always going to be, you know, Patriots over any kind of college football team, which is weird.
And it's changed for me a ton, because before I lived up here, I was definitely grew up more of a college football fan. Like, of course, I watched the NFL, but and I was a huge Washington fan, but college football was always like the dominant thing where I grew up. And then coming up here now, partly because of my job, but I feel like the NFL is just a superior product in 90% of the way. But
well,
at the same time, I'm like, and I know college football is struggling with all its realignments and NIL, but all of that aside, it's just so interesting to me because it is such a crazy sports market, the best sports market in the world. And at the same time, there's not room for a lot of college sports.
Yeah, I think part of it is just the right, with the NFL, you know every superstar. In college football, there's just so many players and so many good players across the country that it's not, I feel like the names aren't quite as like household names as it is with the NFL. But like growing up personally, I just know like my dad never really watched college football. So college football was just never on in my house. I didn't really get into college football until I went to college, and then I'm like, oh, like I really care about, at the time I was at UConn, I'm like, oh, I really care about UConn. And I started watching college football across the country. And so I don't really know why that's just a personal thing. So like growing up, my dad just never watched it, which means I never watched it. It's how, like,
right,
you know, I developed a lot of my music tastes. My dad listened to a lot of Bruce Springsteen. I listened to a lot of Bruce Springsteen. I like Springsteen.
Your dad listened to a lot of Nickelback.
No.
And so you listened to a lot of Nickelback.
No, my dad listened to a lot of Springsteen and Seeger, and that's why I love Springsteen
literally,
and Seeger.
Literally everybody's dad.
True. Fair point. But like, yeah, it's just one of those things that it's like, you know, I just got my habits from my parents. My mom never really watched football, so it's like, all right, whatever my dad watched, I watched. And so we just didn't watch college football at home. A lot of times, to be fair, like Saturdays were sports days. So, like, I would be at baseball or soccer or football or whatever, and my brothers would be
volleyball?
At
volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball.
You were volleyball legend.
Yeah, volleyball is a spring sport, though, Mego, for boys. Oh. Boys volleyball.
Well, okay, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt that you were playing on a travel team, so you're, you know, year-round youth sports. It's a real problem the way that we isolate them in one sport so early.
It's true, yeah. You play as many sports as you want. A lot of athletes will tell you that. You find ways to kind of understand your body better if you're playing a bunch of different sports.
Our bodies, ourselves.
Yep, exactly. But we were, Mega, not to get too far off track this morning, but we were talking a lot about the New England Patriots. The Jabril Peppers release yesterday, which I cannot wrap my brain around. I don't understand it. I don't know that I ever will unless somebody explains it to me like I'm a five-year-old. Because it's like, I look at the text line, and some people will say, yeah, like, it's just Vrabel removing guys. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, then why is Kyle Duggar still on the team? Why are other Bill Belichick guys still on the team? That doesn't totally make sense. And then it's like, yeah, he wasn't that good. Well, no, he's better than, like, half the guys on the roster still. So it's just, it puts me in such a weird spot. I think I'm starting to, this is the first time, like, I'm really starting to kind of question Vrabel. You know what I mean? Like, we've heard all preseason and kind of through training camp and even since he's got here that it feels like a very an adult run operation compared to last year, which was just a disaster. Vrabel comes in and it's a real NFL operation. It feels kind of tied up and nice and neat and it's run really well and efficiently. And this is the first moment where I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I don't see the vision. And maybe that's my issue, is I just can't see the bigger picture. But I look at it and I'm like, well, if you're removing Belichick guys, there's still a bunch of those on the roster, so that's not really it. It's not about the money. It's only $4.5 million, and you have $52 million in cap space. That's not really it. From all reports, it doesn't seem like he's an attitude problem. He didn't have off-field issues, so I'm like, I feel like I'm starting to question Mike Vrabel a little bit here before week one.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, the only thing that I could think of is if he wasn't a fit in the scheme, would there be some awkwardness with him having been a captain last year before his off-field legal issues? But then
why make it through the first cutdown day?
Right. But maybe they realize that he's going to be further down the depth chart than they originally thought. And so that was a gradual thing. And now someone like, you know, Woodson would be playing and Jalen Hawkins would be playing above him. And would that create some awkwardness in the locker room? I don't know, man. Like, I'm really trying to grasp at straws here.
Yeah, because
I understand why they did this.
I understand that, but wouldn't Vrabel, like, I just feel like Vrabel would be the kind of guy who he would have a sit down with Jabril Peppers, right? And it's like, hey, I know you were a captain on this team last year, but I don't know that you're going to be playing a major role on our defense, so you're not going to be a captain this year. And then if Peppers was like, okay, well, maybe I just want to go play somewhere else, I feel like we would have heard that. They immediately tried to tell us that was the case with Kendrick Bourne, which we don't think was actually the case. But, like, why would that not come out then for Jabril Peppers?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm really just trying to, like, search for a reason because it doesn't make sense. I'm not where you're at, where I'm sitting here questioning Vrabel over this. There is a sense of, okay, like, I wish I knew the motivation behind it, but I'm not going so far as to say, like, does he know what he's doing? Like, man, I hope Vrabel knows what he's doing. I still trust that Vrabel knows what he's doing, and this is just something that didn't fit, and maybe they're, you know, the classic, like, there's two moves down the line chess-wise that we're not seeing, and this is the first move, but it's certainly a strange one.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope this is the, like, first of multiple chess moves and there's a bigger play in the wings. But I don't see it. I don't understand it. I feel like that bigger play could have been the guy who just got traded from the Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons. And yet there was not even a report that the Patriots or anybody outside of the Packers was even asked. It feels very Luka Doncic-esque where it's like, Jerry just called the Packers because he heard they were interested. Was like, hey, what would you give for Micah Parsons? They said, nah, how about two firsts and Kenny Clark? And he's like, yep, let's do it. Instead of, I don't know, shopping him around and asking teams. Because if you're the Patriots, to me, that feels like the perfect guy to go get and spend your money on since you have so much cap space. So, like, that's influencing my kind of questioning of Mike Vrabel here. Is like, why weren't you also in on Micah Parsons? And now you're cutting a talented guy at Jabril Peppers. And so I'm left in this kind of just like maelstrom of questions that I can't answer.
Yeah, the Micah Parsons trade is, I think that's a great comparison, the Luka Doncic trade, because it does feel like, okay, they picked up the phone for one team, yeah. And why wouldn't you go for more? Not saying that's the case, it just feels that way. It all feels very Jerry Jones, and the same way that the Mavs are going to be defending the Luka trade for the next 4 years, even though they have... they ended up with Cooper Flagg. It feels very much like Jerry's going to spend the rest of his tenure with the Cowboys explaining why Micah Parsons is gone.
Like, he does
and
understand he's
never going to be able to.
Those two first-round picks are going to be, like, somewhere between 25 and 32, right?
Yeah. And that's the dumbest thing, right? That's
the part. To the Jaguars.
Right. I'm like, that's the part that made zero sense to me. As soon as it came through, I'm like, you got two first-round picks from the Packers, so we all think that they're going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're now a Super Bowl contender.
You basically got at least one almost second round pick, to your point. Like, it makes no sense. It was a really, really dumb move by the Cowboys. I don't know how anyone's gonna defend that. I will say this though, from the Patriots' perspective, like, Micah Parsons is what you want in a first round pick, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's not exactly what the Patriots need.
Sure.
Like, the Patriots are still in this situation of having so many areas of need. And Micah Parsons, like, you have to weigh this idea of he's such a transformational talent. Like, he's so amazing that you just got to snatch him up, especially with how young he still is, how early he is in his career, but so productive that you got to go get him. And there's no question. But I kind of feel like the Patriots from a roster building perspective can't really afford that. I feel like they're
really
too poor for that.
I couldn't disagree more.
I know. And that's why I said the first part, like, I totally understand and totally respect where people are coming from, where they're like, don't be stupid. It's Micah Parsons. He's a top three, top two, maybe top one player at his position. Just go do that. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but you need these drafts coming up.
So,
like,
I agree, you need the drafts.
You're in the position. Look at the last two drafts not this year, but the draft from 24, which is already almost completely cleaned out.
Yep.
We have all been talking about the draft from 22, where only Marcus Jones survives. Like, it is survivor with these drafts at this point, and that's why your roster sucks as bad as it does in terms of depth, even though you did so much in free agency. And so I'm just sitting here going, I don't think that you can give up that much draft capital unless it would be somebody who is a wide receiver, somebody who is an offensive lineman, which is so boring, but you really need that, like, these areas of need.
Yeah, so I understand that they have other areas of need, but, I mean, at the end of the day, is it all that much draft capital? Like, it's two first-round picks.
Yes, that is a lot of draft capital.
Is it? There's seven rounds in the draft, though. Like,
I know,
you have rounds two through seven.
Okay, but Shime, at the same time, like, if you make that argument, you can't be losing your mind for 3 months that they're going to use the number four overall pick on Will Campbell. You know?
Yes, I can.
Like,
well, so,
we can't pretend like first-round picks don't matter, especially with the team you are.
Would you rather have Will Campbell and Cole Strange, or would you rather have Micah Parsons?
Well, that's a false equivalency, because I didn't want them to draft either of those guys.
Okay, fair. but that's kind of my point, right? It's like,
would you rather have Drake May or Micah Parsons? I think is a more fair comparison.
I disagree.
Answer, because we're talking first round picks.
Yeah, first of all, I would rather have Drake May, but you have the quarterback though. Like, that's the thing, right? This is the perfect opportunity to strike while the iron's hot. You have a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Shime, on offense, you have the quarterback and nothing else.
Yeah, but that's
the point.
The beauty of it, though, is, like, there's things called, like, free agency, and there's ways to kind of maneuver in drafts and to sneak back into the first round if you really wanted to.
You just went through free agency where you were not able to solve your left tackle position.
Not able or not willing?
Not able. Come on.
There were guys out there.
Ronnie Stanley was the only chance that you had, and he didn't make it back to free agency.
Didn't the Titans sign, like, Dan Sweeney or something, the guy from the Steelers?
I don't remember that. You may be right, but I don't remember that. The only other avenue I think you could have gone would be if you knew that Laremy Tunsil was getting traded. Again, that seems like an Elliott Wolf issue, that he didn't know that and the Commanders knew that.
Dan Moore, that's who the left tackle is that the Titans signed from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Again, I didn't see any tackles besides Ronnie Stanley that looked like they were going to be the big solution at your left tackle. And again, the best that you could do in terms of a wide receiver is Stephon Diggs, who, again, as we talk about expectations for this roster, I am higher on than everyone else. I have questions, and I think my expectations for him have been tempered throughout. But we have seen over since 2021, Shime, that you can't supplement the first rounds of the draft and those picks there with free agency. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for you, and it won't work. It'll give you
some starters. Well, it can work. It's just you have to be willing to spend the money, which I don't think they've been.
I don't think that was the issue this time. They spent $90 million between Milton Williams and Harold Landry. Like, they guaranteed money. Like, they spend money on these guys. They don't have the drafts. They have no foundation. So they have the quarterback and nothing else on offense. And for that reason, like, adore Micah Parsons. Would have loved for him to be the one that they took in that draft instead of Mac Jones. This is revisionist history. But at the same time, it's like putting spinners on your car when the engine is failing. Like, I'm sorry for going to car analogies, but you're like, yeah, we can't do this right now.
617-779-7937. How do you feel about the Patriots roster? Do you think they should have been in on Micah Parsons? I want to continue with this, Mego, because I feel like It's a clear indication that the Patriots are giving you about the direction in which they're heading. We'll get to that coming up next year. Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
WEEI. Tom, you pick like the slowest Springsteen song.
This is my mom's favorite. She's listening.
Okay. Shout out to Tom's mom. That's adorable. I can't get mad at that. It's a great song.
What's your number one Bruce song?
10th Avenue Freeze Out, my favorite. It's a jam. It's an absolute bop.
It's a good one.
I do love, too, he always, or at least the time I saw him at Gillette, he did Shout by the Isley Brothers, which is a blast. I know that's one of your favorite songs, Mego. So.
Did he sizzle bacon?
He did not sizzle bacon. I think he's a little too old for that. But
Please. If anyone can sizzle bacon, it's Bruce. Don't call him old. That's so rude.
Yeah, Mego.
What?
Mego, he's very old.
He's like the fittest. Is he 70 yet? Because I was going to say he's like the fittest 60-something, but he might be a septuagenarian.
Yeah, no, he's 75.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm pretty sure he's closer to 80 than he is 60. Well, he's right in the middle.
I mean, look, COVID broke a lot of things. It broke all my sense of time.
That's fair.
In my brain, I'm like, isn't it still 2018? I have no idea.
I totally agree. So, Bragg, my fiance and I went to a concert last night. We went and saw Brett Eldridge down at the South Shore Music Circus. And I could have sworn we had saw him last year at that same place. No. He hadn't been there since 2022. That's how distorted my sense of time is.
That's my feeling, unless we're talking about sports specific things where I'm like, oh, okay, I remember this 2021 draft. I remember this 2015 playoff run. Like, I have no idea. Something could be 22. Something could be 18. No freaking clue.
No clue.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know when that happened. I like look at my niece and nephew. I'm like, I have no idea how old you are.
Yeah. How'd you get this tall?
You're just adorable blobs. Just like the Patriots 53-man roster.
Which is so wild, Mego. To me, this whole Micah Parsons thing, if the Patriots had even an opportunity to call and ask about him and offer something, this to me is a clear indication for all of the people we were talking earlier about, the people in La La Land. For all the people in La La Land, this is a clear indication from the Patriots that if they had the chance to even call about Micah Parsons, they were not serious. They had no actual intention of trying to be in on him, and they're not going to be that competitive this year in terms of being a playoff team. Like, they are going to try and they're going to play their asses off, like Mike Vrabel will tell you. They're going to be a competitive football team during the regular season, but this is not a team with any aspirations of being in the playoffs, because if that was the case, you would, without hesitation, trade 2 first-round picks for Micah Parsons. He is generational pass rushers who are 26, so basically entering their prime, do not become available in the NFL ever. Like, this is an anomaly to the point where I don't even know. I want to say the last one I can think of might have been like Reggie White, and I don't even know. And that was like at the beginning of free agency. Like, that's how long ago it's been. And so I find it a clear indication from the organization. If they even had the opportunity, now I'm not saying they did, because this very much could have been a Luka Doncic situation, but if they had the opportunity, they had zero intention of actually attempting to get Micah Parsons.
See, I'm not ready to generalize their interest or their interest in being competitive by this one example, because as I said a couple of minutes ago, I just think it's too rich for them in terms of the draft capital. I don't think that indicates that they wouldn't potentially be in on somebody else. Like, okay, this is way less sexy.
Okay.
But like a Jacoby Myers trade, like that makes sense.
Yeah,
to
me. Yeah,
that's
such a different tier of player.
Well, but I think it goes back to filling a need and what you have to give up. And it's like this, okay? I'm very heavy on my analogies this morning.
Okay.
So it's like you want to go to a steakhouse to celebrate something,
nice.
Right?
Love
okay,
a good
let's
steak.
Say, good job by you. You get a raise at work. So you're Ooh. Like, honey, we're going to the steakhouse. We're going to Davio's, wherever you want to.
Get a porterhouse.
You know, whatever you want to say. But you're sitting down and you're not ordering like a tomahawk steak, right? Like, because you got a pay raise doesn't mean that you're going to go all out, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to go a little bit out. I just think it's too rich for them.
So that's a tough analogy though, just because Micah Parsons isn't just a dinner. Right? Like Micah Parsons is groceries for 4 years.
Yeah, you can feed yourself for a week off a tomahawk steak.
But like, I mean, it depends who you are. Maybe not me, but like, it's just, I look at Micah Parsons is, it would have been the perfect situation, because with a quarterback on a rookie contract, it's the perfect opportunity to pay other players when you have the opportunity. And this
is a once-in-a-lifetime
opportunity.
It's not about the cash. It's not about the cash or the cap space. To me, it's about the draft capital.
Who cares? But you have the quarterback. Who cares about the 2 first-round picks? Like, 2 picks are not going to mean the difference. I don't care. You could have two picks in the 10 to 20 range over the next two seasons. I don't care who the players are. Them combined are not going to be better than Micah Parsons. They're not.
I don't know that I would go that. Look, in their respective positions, yes. But you still, it comes down to, for me, you still have premium positions outside of quarterback that are so questionable. And if he aligned with those premium positions, I would be way more comfortable giving up a first round pick. Like if he was a top flight receiver, if he was Ja'Marr Chase, if he was, honestly, this sounds terrible, if he was Joe Alt, like I'd say, okay, this makes sense. This solves everything for you. You need to fill these positions, and you've needed to for years at this point.
Yeah, but it's not like you have some elite pass rusher either, though.
No, I agree.
Like, you have serviceable pass rushers. I totally agree with that. But by investing in a guy like Micah Parsons, he makes Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis better. He kind of helps your safety issue because the pass rush will immediately help mask up some deficiencies in the secondary. He makes Milton Williams probably look like Aaron Donald and Christian Barmore look like Chris Jones. And then it makes the rest of your defense exponentially better to the point where if you acquire Micah Parsons, you have a top three defense in football.
I think my reasoning, going back to like your first hypothesis about this, shows you that the Patriots are not serious about this season,
yep,
is just that the roster is where they are right now because of how sucky they've been in the draft. And so you can't sit here and ignore the benefits of future drafts for this guy right now. Like, that's what it comes down to for me. I don't think it indicates that they're not serious about making a move if it fits. The one thing that really irked me that came from Elliot Wolf when he talked about this like 2 weeks ago at this point was when he said to make a trade, you have to have a willing partner, because that was so Red Sox-y to me.
Oh my God, that the Kings.
That reminded me so much of what they said at the trade deadline when they came. They were like, well, you know, somebody's got to meet you on the other side. And I know Andrew Callahan, immediately after the 53-man roster started coming out, said, hey, they're dangling guys out there and nobody likes their stuff. Like, nobody wants their discarded players. So that puts you in a tough position with somebody like Kendrick Bourne, with somebody like Kyle Duggar, who has an albatross of a contract. And I don't think it indicates overall that they're saying, we're not going to like spend anything on this team this year, because they already proved to you cash wise that they would spend in free agency. And they did, but not a ton.
I mean, they still have $52 million in cap space.
Right. But again, part of that is because the state of the roster coming out of last year was so bad. I mean, this for me comes down to, I don't think it indicates that they're not serious about this season. Like, do they think that they're going to get to a conference championship game and have a turnaround the way that Washington did last year? No. I don't think that anyone in there is expecting that. I don't think that's the standard. Maybe you think that should be.
But if you inject Micah Parsons into this team, doesn't that become possible? Doesn't that become a possibility? Doesn't winning the division immediately become a possibility?
Against the Bills? I don't know.
I think with a top three defense in football, a quarterback who you expect to take a second year leap, and again, good defenses help young quarterbacks. You're going to think I'm crazy for going back to this, but 2021, Mac Jones' rookie season. That Patriots team, I believe, was second or third in the league in takeaways. They allowed they were top five in points allowed, top five in yards allowed. Like, that's one of the reasons why it looked like Mac Jones was so successful. Because the defense, led by Micah Parsons, Drake May's job becomes exponentially easier, and he is going to get better faster. And, like, I understand that there isn't a lot of weapons on the other side of the ball, but this is something that I feel like I need to be consistent about, and that's one of the whole reasons why I felt like Mac Jones was good in his rookie year, is because the defense put him in advantageous positions and short fields. And if Drake May has that same thing, he would be even better.
Okay, I agree with you to an extent, but again, I don't think that I think Drake May would be benefited better by getting a real impact at a premium position player on the offense in the next two drafts. Now, you can say, I have no faith in the way that this franchise drafts at all. So, screw the drafts.
I kind of feel that way.
Screw them picks.
Like, they fell into Drake May. Like, there were three quarterbacks. He was the third one on the board. You fell into.
That's an argument I would hear more than.
Outside of that, they haven't been able to draft anyone.
I feel like there's a touch of your argument that you're dancing around, which is just, Micah Parsons is awesome. I want Micah Parsons to be a Patriot.
Yeah, he's amazing. He is a generational player, and he's 26 years old. And his contract
That's
would
the
expire.
Stronger argument to me than anything. And his, Micah Parsons is just freaking awesome. I want Micah Parsons in that new Storm Blue, whatever they're calling it, Nor'easter uniform.
Do you want to get into those? I have very strong opinions on those.
You have a lot of strong opinions this morning.
Yeah, I feel great today. I'm in such a good mood, and I have a lot of strong opinions. Let's get into the Patriots rivalry uniforms next year. It's Mego and Scheim on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.